Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
That energy going. It pumps me up to worship God, right? Yeah. If you know this one, sing it out with all your heart. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. surrounded by your glory. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all?
Good morning. Have a seat. Oh, it was so good to hear so many voices so loudly and so clearly.
Yes.
And thank you for drowning out my voice this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to Asbury. Welcome to our launch service. It is a joy to be in worship with you today. I pray that this time together is a blessing to you. It is Sunday, August 21st. That means it is a very special day at our church. Today we are going to bless the backpacks because even though some kids have already started school, the rest of you will go back to school tomorrow. And so we are thankful to have that time with you this morning. And also, we have some Bibles here. We have four incoming third graders this year, Levi Adair, Lennox Byers, Ira Livers, and Hadley Shimmer. And in the first service, Ira and Hadley received their Bibles. In this service, we will give them to Lennox and to Levi. And it's a wonderful time for us to commit together to raising them in a life in Christ. So we'll do that a little bit later on in the service. We are starting a new sermon series today. We are calling that series Eat the Frog. And I'll let Brother Hammett explain that here in a little bit. It was my idea, but I'm going to make him explain it. But I will say this, that I know that starting tomorrow and as we get into the fall, life gets very, very crazy. You're running kids to school. If you don't have kids, you're still running around. Seems like work picks up. Summer vacations are over. And it is very, very easy to fall out of those spiritual discipline habits that we have in our lives. And so over the next 3 weeks, we want to talk about how to keep Christ at the center of everything we're doing in the fall. We want to talk about how to do that at school, which is what Brother Hammett's going to talk about this week. He's going to talk about King Josiah, who became king at 8 years old and did some amazing things. Next week, we'll talk about how to do that at home, how to pray together as a family, not just praying for the Razorbacks on 4th and 6th, but praying as a family. And then on Labor Day, we'll end that by talking about how to live that out and stay focused on Christ while we are at work. And so we hope that this should be a series that is engaging but also practical. We're hoping there's some things you can take out of that, put in your lunchbox, and carry with you. I do have just a few announcements before we get started. A reminder that we are collecting items right now for our diaper pantry. We've expanded our food pantry to include a diaper ministry, so we're collecting diapers and wipes and diaper cream. We will have a baby shower at some point in September, and so you can drop them off then. Or if you want to bring them by now, just bring them to the church office, and we'll get them where they need to go. On Sunday, September 11th, we are having what we call Back to Church Sunday is what it's called. Or that might be an official title, isn't it? Back to Church Sunday. It's an official title. And so between now and September 11th, we are going to call folks who we have not seen in a while. There's a great group of people committed to doing that. But we also encourage you to invite anyone you haven't seen in a while and invite them back to church on that Sunday. We have adult Bible study starting back up. Youth and children's stuff will fire back up at that time, so it'll be a great time for folks to get back into church after the Labor Day holiday. And then lastly, and incredibly important, 1 week from today is our next Stone Soup Mission. And for those of you who have never been part of it, we gather on the fourth Sunday of every even month down at Quapaw Quarter, UMC. It gives us a chance to gather in fellowship with our friends who are in need of a hot meal and clothing, and so we serve them, and it is a beautiful afternoon. But here's something that's happened. Can I be honest with everybody for a second? Since we've gone through this whole COVID thing for the last couple of years, what has happened is the youth have been the primary servers at Stone Soup, and that makes sense because that's a safe thing to do. But we've reached the point where it's only youth mostly that are there. And one of the things I loved about Asbury when I first came here was being surrounded by people of all ages at Stone Soup. So if you haven't been for a while, we're inviting you back. We need you back. We need people to come and help serve. So if you're able to be with us, please do that next Sunday afternoon. If you've never been before, come. It will be life-changing for you. Okay? Those are our announcements. And so as we continue on with our worship, I ask you to please join me as we go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for every person in this room, for every person joining us online. I thank you, God, for the opportunity for us to gather, that we can come together in worship to praise and glorify your name. Regardless of our condition as we come through the door, whatever our fears are, our doubts, our anxieties, our angers, whatever it is that's going on inside, God, we are able to come here and just release and praise you. And we're able to do that together as brothers and sisters, knowing that you fully love us. And so thank you, God, so much. It is through your blessings that we are here. We thank you this morning for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God, we invite that this morning to transform us and to change us. We thank you for all the blessings that you pour into our lives, that you constantly pour in, the blessings that are for us specifically and the blessings that flow through us and become a blessing to others. Let us be challenged today to see those blessings as we carry ourselves into the communities, we carry ourselves into our schools, into our workplaces, to be that blessing for others that you call us to be. This morning we pray, God, for our students as they head back to school, our students of all ages as they head back. God, I know you are going to walk with them during this year. May they be excited about the opportunity to learn and to grow. May they be excited about the fellowship that they will experience every day with their friends and with strangers. May they be the light of Christ that you call them to be to those who need it the most. We pray for parents, God, who are sending their kids to school. We pray for them as they wake up early and pull kids out of bed and make lunches and do late night projects. God, I ask that you help all of us to see the joy in those moments, because we know that this does not last forever. And so, God, I ask for peace and for patience and for joy. God, we pray this morning for parents who are empty nesters now, who have sent all the kids away to college, out of the home, and for those who send their first child to school tomorrow. God, may your peace and love be upon them. We pray for our teachers and administrators and faculty at all the schools. We thank them, God. We thank you, God, for all that you do through them to impact our children. And so, God, I ask that you are with them as they guide and lead and instruct our students. God, we know it is a true blessing and a calling that you have placed on their lives to do what they do. And so, God, we ask that you strengthen them and sustain them and walk beside them. And God, above all else, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the heavy price he paid on the cross, a price we could not pay ourselves. We thank you, God, for the victory over death at resurrection, a victory that broke us free of the trappings of sin and death. We thank you for Jesus' earthly ministry, for all he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. And we thank you, God, for the power of prayer, the ability to come here and bring our burdens, lay them at your feet, to bring our joys to you, to give you thanks and praise. And we thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer, which we'll now say together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and continue to worship with us this morning. I picked these songs this week for two reasons. Number one, I figured more people would be here, and I wanted you to know them, and I wanted you to sing out. Number two, they serve as messages for our youth and the kids here that are going back to school. You know, yes, I will praise you in the lowest valley. What a beautiful name. And later we'll sing Build My Life, which I guess could be Build My School Year today, around the Lord. So sing this one out.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is.
Sin was great, your love was greater.
as we prepare our hearts and minds for this time of offering, and it's fitting that this morning we're going to bless backpacks, because I've been thinking a lot about what goes in backpacks, and we know paper and folders and pens and pencils and all that stuff. But what also is going to go in the backpacks of our children is everything that we have taught them as far as being Christians. They're going to go out into the world tomorrow, into their schools, and they are going to carry the image of Christ with them. And it's the image of Christ that has been molded over time here at Asbury from you, given your time and your talents and your resources to support what these children do. And so this is one of those amazing opportunities when we don't yet realize what our giving is going to do for someone else as these kids go into the schools and as you go into your workplaces tomorrow. So as we prepare our hearts and minds for our offering, just remember that we don't ever see the full impact of God's great gifts, because God always does the improbable when we least expect it. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this glorious gift to gather and participate in the kingdom-building endeavor that you have called us to participate in. It is a glorious joy and gift to give of our time and our talents and our resources to see a vision that is larger than we even knew was possible. It is all done through your mighty acts and through your great love for us. And so this morning, God, we give you thanks for this blessed opportunity. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
I know generally you sit and kind of listen to the offertory, but please, if you love this song like I do, sing it, please.
In case you missed it, they are very pumped to get their Bibles. I invite you to join along with me. Parents and Asbury family, will you help these children as they study by sharing your faith stories with them and encouraging them to participate in the ministries of the church? We will. We will be their teachers, examples, mentors, and friends as they read and study the Bible and grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. We will pray for them that they will hunger for God's word and seek to know God better. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for the Bible and all you teach us through it. Make us want to learn and willing to read and study it all our lives so we can grow as disciples and be faithful to Jesus. Amen.
Levi and Lennox, for over many thousand years, God has given us the Word. He's also given us tools to understand the Word. I look at behind you at so many class members that have been and used ribbons, because in each class, every class, as you've already experienced today, we will use our ribbons. May God be with you.
Let's give them a sign of our congratulations.
All right. Now, if you don't have a backpack, you are still welcome to come up here and receive a blessing. So, boys, let's go. You can, this is an extension prayer. It'll reach your backpack.
Your backpack can be present in absentia.
Yes, that's right. I'm trying to see what kind of different backpacks we have this year. Do we have some cool ones? Minecraft in my face. Yeah, they do. Those are some good backpacks. That was one of the best parts of school shopping, was picking out the new backpack.
Back or freaking out because my mic wasn't on. It was me. You're welcome. All right. Let's join together in prayer. Is the prayer on the screen? Begins God of Word and Wonder. Can we go? Let's go forward. 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 Is that the end of it? Okay. Well, as we'll see in a minute, Caleb spent a lot of time this morning typing in the scripture reading, and so we can't blame him. What we'll do is I'll just pray it. So let's pray together. Let's pray. God of Wonder and Word, we thank you for these children and for the lessons they will learn in school this year. We pray for them as they prepare for this new adventure. May these backpacks be filled with all the supplies they need, and may they carry to school the best of themselves so they can learn and grow in a kind and loving environment. We also pray for their teachers and school staff. Inspire, equip, and fill them with joy, creativity, patience, and perseverance for this school year. And may all, both students and teachers, find in each other a community of caring and learning that glorifies you. And the people of God said, amen. God bless y'all. We'll be have a wonderful first week at school, and we'll see you next week. Oh, there are, thank you, Nicole. There are tags for your backpacks, and those they're back on that, you said little table right there behind Mr. Ted? Or by Miss Meg, you're welcome to take one of those. Be sure and pick one up on your way out. Y'all have a good week.
You know, it's since it's Blessing of the Backpack Sunday, so we really don't need to be that reverent this morning, right? Okay. And the reason why I say that is, I'm really excited to start this sermon series. We, as pastors, we pick our own scripture, and I don't know what I've done to Hammett in a previous life. But I'm going to read from 2 Kings, and it's a beautiful story with a lot of names that just don't simply exist anymore. So our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Kings, mostly chapter 22, bits of chapter 23 as well. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah. She was Adiah's daughter and was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the Lord's eyes and walked in the ways of his ancestor David, not deviating from it even a bit to the left or right. In the 18th year of King Josiah's rule, he sent the secretary Shaphan, Azaliah's son and Meshulam's grandson, to the Lord's temple with the following orders. Go to the high priest Hilkiah. Have him carefully count the money that has been brought to the Lord's temple and that has been collected from the people by the doorkeepers. It should be given to the supervisors in charge of the Lord's temple, who in turn should pay it to those who are in the Lord's temple repairing the temple. The high priest Hilkiah told Shaphan the secretary, I have found the instruction scroll in the Lord's temple. Then Hilkiah turned the scroll over to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me the scroll, and he read it out loud before the king. As soon as the king heard what the instruction scroll said, he ripped his clothes. The king ordered the priest Hilkiah, Shaphan's son Ahikam, Micaiah's son Achbor, Shaphan's the secretary, and Isaiah the royal officer as follows. Go and ask the Lord on my behalf and on behalf of the people, and on behalf of all Judah concerning the contents of this scroll that has been found. The Lord must be furious with us because our ancestors failed to obey the words of this scroll and do everything written in it about us. So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Isaiah went to the prophetess Huldah. She was married to Shallum, Tikva's son, and Hera's grandson, who was in charge of the wardrobe. I heard those chuckles. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. When they spoke to her, she replied, This is what the Lord, Israel's God, says. Tell this to the man who you sent to me. Because your heart was broken and you submitted before the Lord when you heard what I said about this place and its citizens, that they will become a horror and a curse because you ripped your clothes and cried before me. I have listened to you, declares the Lord. That's why I will gather you to your ancestors and you will go to your grave in peace. You won't experience the disaster I am about to bring on this place. When they reported Huldah's words to the king sent a message, and all of Judah's and Jerusalem's elders gathered before him. Then the king went up to the Lord's temple, together with all the people of Judah and all the citizens of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, and all the people, young and old alike. There the king read out loud all the words of the covenant scroll that had been found in the Lord's temple. The king stood beside the pillar and made a covenant with the Lord that we would follow the Lord by keeping his commandments, his laws, and his regulations with all his heart and all his being in order to fulfill the words of this covenant that were written in this scroll. All of the people accepted the covenant. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's give Nick a hand. Let's give Caleb a hand, too, because he typed all that. So. And believe it or not, I did edit that down. But anyway, good morning. Welcome to Asbury. Welcome to our Eat the Frog series. I'll say something about that in a minute. Welcome for Back to School Sunday. I'm so thankful that you are here with us. And I just want to, I've seen some of the folks commenting on YouTube as we've been worshiping together. And we're so thankful that you are with us today. I looked at the lives, you can look at all the data behind the live stream. And I got into that this week and saw that. Over the last just few months, we've had folks watch from faraway lands like Canada, and we had somebody watching from a friend of mine lives in Spain, and they were watching one Sunday. California, you could kind of tell when people went to the beach, there were several Florida hits, and North Carolina. Just this morning, I noticed one of the comments was from a very dear friend of mine. From Norfolk, England, and I was her pastor at Ash Hill when I was a pastor over there. And so it's so cool how the pandemic forced us in a lot of ways to up our online game, and what a blessing it is to be worshiping really with people from all over the world right now as we are together. We are also very thankful that Pulaski County dropped to medium COVID levels this week. Let's give God an amen and praise for that. Amen. I can tell just looking, some of us are dropping our masks and others won't. One of the things I love about Asbury is the compassion and the concern and the consideration that we show for one another in all of our difference, masks and otherwise. I want to say keep up the good work there. These spikes have been coming about every 4 to 5 months, and if that pattern holds this time, That means we'll sometime around December or something like that, we'll see a rise in cases, perhaps January. But I'm hopeful that by the time, in 4 months, that we're going to have some treatments available and some other things where we won't, where restrictions won't be as necessary. So y'all pray for that. I'll pray for that. Keep up the good work. That also, but that means that I am really excited about the plans we have for our church this fall. And the staff and I have been working, some of our leadership have been working together to plot out the fall. And we have some really wonderful events that are coming up. We're trying to bring back most everything that we haven't been able to do in the last 3 years. Amen? And then we have a few extra things, or a few things I want to put on your radar. Nick mentioned earlier that September 11th is Back to Church Sunday. The national Back to Church Sunday is the 18th, but we're going to jump the gun and do it the week before. I encourage you to, if there are fellow Asbarians that you haven't seen in a while that you miss, give them a call. Or when you see them, say, hey, we've really missed you at church. Why don't you come on September 11th? It's also a perfect time to invite anyone that you know who does not have a church home to come to church with you that day. And so we really want to encourage you to do that over the coming weeks. Then the following week, that's September 11th, the following week, September 18th, we are hosting a packing party with City Connections. And you'll find out more about this week. But I want you to put that on your calendar. We plan to pack 10,000 meals to feed hungry people in the WAC on that afternoon. And we're going to ask y'all for financial support to pull that off as well. So be watching your church email. Then our annual fall festival and trunk or treat will be on October 23rd. The very next week, we begin a four-week celebration of a terrific anniversary. This is, 2022 is our 40th anniversary, 40th year here at 1700 Napa Valley. And the actual date of the first service was November 21st, 1982. And so in the weeks leading up to November 21st, we're going to celebrate what we've done here. And we're also going to look forward and anticipate what God wants to continue to do through us here at 1700 Napa Valley, through our church family. That will culminate with an anniversary event on November 20th. And that is the first Sunday in your Thanksgiving break. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to just stick around for that weekend. It's going to be fantastic. It's an exciting time to be a part of Asbury. And then finally, when we get into December, we'll have Advent dinner and children's, kids singing and Kid Santa and Blue Christmas service and all that stuff that we've done for years. I'm super excited to announce that we are hosting the Hendricks College Choir for their annual candlelight carol service tour on Friday, December 16th. And we want to encourage you to come out for that as well. It will be something you will always remember. So anyway, it's an exciting time to be a part of Asbury. Be sure and watch your things email as things come up. And you can always go home this afternoon if you missed all those dates and you want to write them down and listen back to the live stream. All right, Brother Nick mentioned the Bible studies that we're starting in a couple of weeks. I'm going to facilitate Disciple 1, which is subtitled Becoming Disciples Through Bible Study. Brother Tom came up to me after the first service, and he said, Hammett, do you know the connection between Disciple Bible Study and Asbury? And I said, no, Tom, and I assumed there was something. He said, Margaret Ault. How many of y'all remember Margaret Ault? Margaret Ault was the secretary in the conference office with Bishop Wilkie back when he was writing the original Disciple series. And Tom said that he hand-wrote the various sessions, and Margaret Ault dutifully typed them up and deciphered his handwriting. And so Disciple Bible Study, Disciple 1 especially, does require a significant commitment. It's not easy. It's the equivalent of a college introduction to the Bible course. And there's a lot of reading, especially in some weeks. I always say to people that if you're praying about signing up, if you know that you are going to be gone for 4 weeks, for four sessions, it's better to wait. And I'll tell you why. One time I was, I think this is the 16th or 17th time I will have facilitated a disciple. In one of those groups, somebody missed, like was out 4 weeks in January and February, and they missed the Gospels. I mean, how can you study the entire Bible and miss the Gospels? So that, now if you get sick or something else, or a family crisis occurs and you need to miss more than that, we will work around that, amen? That's not a problem, but it is a significant commitment. I also want to say that it's informational and transformational. So you'll learn about the Bible, you'll learn your Bible history better than you know it now, but the main thing is about how it transforms you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So a significant commitment comes with a significant payoff. And that payoff is that I can promise you that if you participate in Disciple Bible Study this year, you will be a better disciple of Jesus Christ in 12 months. Amen? Significant commitment comes with a significant payoff. The other thing I'd say, we've kind of tentatively scheduled Disciple 1 for Wednesday evenings. Our thinking behind that was maybe some of the youth parents might like to do that while the youth are having their events. We can be flexible about that if that evening or that time doesn't work for you. Please let me know, and we'll hash it out with the folks who are involved and try to find a time that meets most of our needs. Brother Nick is facilitating Disciple 3, which focuses on the prophets and the letters of Paul. He's going to facilitate that with Matt Harward. Did I see Matt earlier? Oh, there you are. Did you scoot to the back? Did you move? I don't know. It didn't seem like you were that far. But Nick and Matt are going to facilitate Disciple 3. Disciple 1 is a prerequisite for that. You really need that foundation for the advanced studies. But if you're interested, be sure and talk with me or Nick if you'd like to be a part of that. So let's move on. Today we are beginning a three-week back-to-school series, and it is called Eat the Frog, and that did come from Brother Nick. Mark Twain once said, this is the quote that I found. Mark Twain said, if it's your job to eat a frog, it's best to do it first thing in the morning. And if it's your job to eat two frogs, it's best to eat the biggest one first. I didn't know the second half of that. But you know, what Twain was talking about is that we tend to put off the hard things. We tend to put off the hard things in life, even when those things are important. And sometimes as Christians, we get so busy that we neglect those important things that we're supposed to do, those spiritual practices and the means of grace that help us to stay connected with God and with our neighbor and make our life more purposeful and meaningful. So over the next 3 weeks, next week we're going to talk about, actually Nick's going to talk about eating the frog at home, and then we'll close on Labor Day weekend with, guess what, eating the frog at work. That makes sense. Today we're beginning with eating the frog at school, and if you're like me and you've reached the end of your formal schooling, praise Jesus for that, remember that God invites us all to be lifelong learners, that as Christians we are called to grow in wisdom and insight each and every day of our lives. So let's pray. God, we do thank you for being with us today, and we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Never underestimate the power of a good book in the hands of an 8-year-old. I started kindergarten here in Little Rock, went to preschool here in Little Rock as well. But then we moved to Pine Bluff the summer before third grade. And for me, what I remember most about third grade was that it was a year of books. I had learned my letters, my alphabet, I could read words, and then I learned how to read sentences and then full paragraphs. And in third grade, I was finally able to read entire chapters of books. And that opened up a whole new world to me. My teacher was Mrs. Johnson, and she would read aloud a chapter of a book every day in class. And she read straight through books like The Boxcar Children and Henry and Ribsy and Charlotte's Web. And yes, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but we were all crying in class at the end of that one chapter. But the ability to read more than just words, to be able to read books, opened up new worlds to me. And went to the school library, checked out biographies of folks like Jesse Owens and Harry Houdini, people that I was interested in. At the Pine Bluff Public School, Public Library, I checked out all of L. Frank Baum's Oz books and read all of them from The Wizard of Oz on through. My mom at the time, she was always my mom and still is. I mean, you see how my brain works. My mom was researching our genealogy, our family genealogy. And so every other Saturday, we would spend most of the day at the Pine Bluff Public Library. And she would scroll through rolls of microfilm and microfiche. Kids, that's the old school internet, and you don't want to know about it. But while she was doing that, we would roam the aisles hunting for books to take home and digest. And those books, that year in third grade, impacted the way that I see the world. But the one that has made the most difference in my life and continues to do so was a book that I got in church one Sunday morning. My dad, of course, was my pastor, and he called all of us third graders forward and presented each one of us with a brand new Young Reader's Bible. How many of y'all got that particular Bible when you were in the third grade? Some of y'all remember Kay did. So I get the Bible, and I'm so excited. I already knew stories about Jonah and Moses and Zacchaeus and stuff like that. And I went home and was looking through some of those. I started at the very beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I kept going, and it was very, very good. And I kept reading chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. About 5, you hit the begats, the dreaded begats. And I was like, okay, I'm done with this. Flipped over to the end, because that's the way I like to read books. And I flipped over to the end, Revelation 22. I missed that scary part around, 12 and 13. But you get to the end, and it says, no more night, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. God's grace reigns. And so the story of the Bible from beginning to end is, in the beginning, all is good. And in the end, all is good. All is good. And we call this a book, but it's really a library. It's really a library. A whole bunch of people wrote it over maybe a couple of thousand years. But it does tell the story of God's love from beginning to end. And it's a powerful book when you allow it to do that in your life. And it has the stories of so many tremendous and wonderful heroes. But there is one that I wish we all of us knew, and Nick read about him just a moment ago. Josiah is perhaps the most unsung hero in the entire Bible. When Josiah was 8 years old, and our third graders are roughly 8 years old, he's about the age of a third grader, Josiah's father, King Ammon of Judah, died. And he was such a terrible king that his own officials and advisors, like his cabinet, had him assassinated. Josiah, in fact, came from a long, long line of terrible kings. His grandfather, Manasseh, was so evil that no matter how good Josiah was, Judah was doomed for destruction. Now, what made Grandpa Manasseh so evil? Well, it was two things. First, he did not worship God and God alone. He worshiped other gods. And two, he treated people in his kingdom unjustly. He even sacrificed one of his sons, Josiah's uncle, as an offering to a foreign god. Because Manasseh was so evil, God vowed to wipe the capital city of Jerusalem like a dish. God says, I'm going to wipe it like a dish, wiping it clean, and then flipping it upside down. Josiah was determined to be a different kind of king than his father and grandfather before him. He listened to his advisors from a very young age and learned how to lead well. When Josiah was 26 years old, he sent word to Hilkiah the high priest and asked him to use the offerings that had been raised to repair the temple. You know, every church needs a renovation every once in a while. And so as the renovations begin, they start going out in the nooks and crannies and the hidden places in the building, all these different, like the dock, and they look out in places like that, and they find a book. Scholars of the Hebrew Bible believe it was an early edition of our book of Deuteronomy. When his secretary comes and reads the book to him aloud, Josiah was so devastated that he got up and tore his royal robes. He realized that his ancestors, his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, had all defied God by worshiping other gods and by treating people unjustly. So Josiah sent his advisors, along with some of the temple officials, to consult a prophetess named Huldah. Now, there are not very many women who speak God's word in the Bible, but Huldah is one good example. Huldah's response from God was both harsh and hopeful. On the one hand, there would be consequences for the crimes of Josiah's father Ammon and his grandfather Manasseh. But because of Josiah's faithfulness, God promised not to destroy Judah on Josiah's watch. Josiah took the book that they found, the book of instruction, and using it as his guide, King Josiah implemented all kinds of reforms. He removed all of the idols and treated all of his people, from the richest to the poorest, with justice. And his people loved him for it. Sadly, King Josiah's life ended in tragedy. After he had reformed the nation and became the greatest and most benevolent monarch in all of Judah's history, and that includes David, Josiah died in battle at the age of 39. And yet, even though he died at that young age, Josiah shows us what can be accomplished when we learn and follow God's instruction. So how do we do that today? I want to offer five very simple practices to help us grow in wisdom. The first thing is that we remember that learning is a gift. Let's say that together. Learning is a gift. Now, it doesn't always feel that way. I know sometimes learning feels like a chore, a pain, but it truly is a gift. Most of the people in the world are not able to learn many of the things that each one of us takes for granted. The second thing is to aim high. Let's say that one together. Aim high. When I was in seventh grade, at the end of the first 9 weeks, I came home with my report card, and I had a C in English. And my mom would have been totally fine with that if I was a C student, but that was the first time I'd ever made a grade as low as a C, and especially in English. And so I told her, I said, well, Mom, my buddy so-and-so has an F. If you knew my mother, you would just die laughing, because that did not go over at all. Mom said, Hammett Nichols Evans, does anybody in your class have an A? And I said, yes, ma'am, so-and-so that sits right by me. And she said, Hammett, you compare your work to hers, not your friend who's making the F. Mom was saying, aim high. Do your best. Do your best. And the third thing is, remember that life is full of do-overs. Let's say that one together. Life is full of do-overs. You know, God really appreciated, you see this in the story, God appreciated Josiah's attempt at a do-over and rewarded him for it. So if you mess up, brush it off and keep going. What George Eliot once wrote is true. It is never too late to be what you might have been. Fourth, learn for yourself first. I got ahead. Let's say that together. Learn for yourself first. As much as you can, and sometimes it's really hard, I know, but as much as you can, don't look at your homework and your assignments or your reading as a chore to help you get good grades or get into college or a degree or to keep from getting grounded. Look at those things as a chance to gain wisdom. You're learning something that you don't know yet. And then finally, as I mentioned before, share what you learn. Share what you learn. Let's say that one together. Share what you learn. I've been doing that in this sermon today, amen? I shared some things that I learned in seminary and in college with you about Josiah. So whether you're a teacher or you're a preacher or an astrophysicist, we should use what we learn to help others. You know, imagine what the world would be like if folks like, you know, Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein and Margaret Mead did not share what they had learned. God shares the gift of learning so that we may grow wise and help God make the world a better place for others. That's what Josiah did. And that's why we learn and follow God's instruction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for the gift of wisdom, and we thank you for the gift of learning. And we pray for our teachers, our students, our administrators, all of those who are involved in educating us. We pray for those who are learning on their own each and every day. We pray that you will give them your Spirit, open their eyes, open their minds, open their hearts, so that they might learn what they need to learn and share it with others to help make the world a better place. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and the people of God said, amen. If you're not a part of the Asbury Church family yet, you're welcome to do that. If you would like to transfer from another church, whether that's another United Methodist Church or another denomination, you can come forward on the singing of this last song. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ and received the sacrament of baptism, Brother Nick or I would be glad to talk with you about that. Just catch one of us after the service, and we'll find a time when we can visit about that. But let's stand now. I think this is my favorite contemporary song right now. I just love it. And it's called Build My Life. Let's stand it and sing together. Stand and sing together.
If the senior pastor loves it, we play it. Thank you.
share just a couple of prayer concerns with you. One is that in, well, it's less than an hour now, our vision team is going to be meeting, and we'll have a retreat. We're praying about the future of Asbury and kind of setting some things for the future of our congregation. The other one is I lost a friend yesterday to addiction. And so I just ask you to, somebody I've known a long time and prayed for a long time, and just pray for John David's family and friends. But we do want to encourage you to come back next Sunday. Brother Nick is going to continue our series. We're going to talk about eating the frog at home and what that means. And we want to encourage you to come back for that. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ. With Christ above you to be your guide. With Christ below you to hold you up. And with Christ beside you to be your friend. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.